gospel reading today is found on page 77 of the Pew Bibles, and it's Luke 9, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Let us pray. Almighty God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May your Holy Spirit be among us as we study your word. May we find comfort and strength, a renewing of our faith, and a deeper understanding of the life that your Son came to give for us, so that we may go and minister that life to others. And we ask all these things in his most holy name. Amen. I can't get used to having these mics. So I'm sure a lot of us remember in today's gospel account, as we grew up in Sunday school as youth, hearing that wonderful little song that they teach us about Zacchaeus. I'm not going to torture you with me singing it, but if we remember it, it was Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in a tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come on down, for I'm going to your house today." It's a great song. It's wonderful in that it portrays Jesus being the center of Zacchaeus' life there, as Zacchaeus searched for him up in that tree. But at first, when you look at Zacchaeus, the way the song depicts him, he's just a man who's short in stature. But when we look at the gospel account for today, we see that Zacchaeus had a bit more of a problem than that he was just short. The gospels describe Zacchaeus as a chief tax collector, and he was rich. A chief tax collector is basically an IRS agent. So for Zacchaeus, he had two things going wrong for him. The people of Israel often thought that those who were of the tribe that were from the Abrahamic covenant should not be part of anything with the Roman government, who had now been responsible for all of Israel. Many felt that what Zacchaeus had done was really sold out his faith. He had departed from the promises of the covenant and was working for the hated Roman government. Many people would not have really liked them all that much. So when you think of people you want to go and have dinner with or hang out for an evening, I really doubt that the IRS agents and tax collectors are on the top of our list of people we want to go see for an evening. This is the situation that Zacchaeus was in. He knew that the townspeople could not stand that he had given over himself to the Roman government. It also goes on to describe him as a rich man, which when you look through the scriptures, you often see that when people talk about notorious sinners and whatnot, normally after that list comes rich people and tax collectors. So they normally top the list of bad things to be. This is really who Zacchaeus was. And by being a rich man, it wasn't that he went out and earned his own money. It wasn't that he had a great business that all of a sudden took off. Rather, it was in his job of being a tax collector. So essentially what he would do is he'd say, 1, 2, 3 for the Roman government, 1, 2 for me. And he was defrauding and stealing from his brothers and sisters of the Israelite faith. That's who Zacchaeus was. As Zacchaeus started to look at his life, he starts to realize, I'm awfully lonely. No one's really hanging out with him. He's not a popular guy. He's not who people want to spend time with. And it is in that moment of being alone and being lost that oftentimes we begin to search. We all search for things. We search for jobs. We search for health and wealth. We search for truth. We search for love, healing, whatever it may be. And oftentimes, as we look around this world and we look to each other at times, we don't always find what the exact truth is meant to be. So Zacchaeus starts to look, and as we start to search, oftentimes we look to the law. And we say, well, what does righteousness really look like? Well, God gives us a picture in the law of what righteousness looks like. It means being perfect. So when you look at your life in light of the law, you find out that it's not graded on a curve. It's not like when you're in school and you get to say, hey, I got a 70, I passed the class. I'm in. The test for God and his law and his righteousness is, it's 100% or it's nothing. There's no in between. And when we look at our life in light of the law, we find out that we cannot make ourselves good enough to be with God. We miss the mark over and over again. And this is where I believe Zacchaeus was searching. He realized that at that moment, he was separated from the God of Israel. He had sold what was supposed to be his by promise. So when we look at the law, the first group is about your relationship to God. He didn't love God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. And then he looked at the last part of the law, and he looked at, how do I treat my neighbors? I cheated them. I stole. I put them out of their homes. I took their livelihoods. So that's not really loving our neighbor as ourselves. So he starts to be concerned about where he's going. What does his life really mean? He no longer has that ability because he's looked at his life in light of the law. Now I have to jump back and look at a chapter in the gospel lesson. See, Jesus was coming down from Samaria through Galilee towards Jericho, and in his last stop, he was teaching a parable. And I think this parable is important because I think it spoke to Zacchaeus. Jesus' parable goes, there was two people who went into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector. The Pharisee went into the temple and he looked around and he offered up his prayers. Oh God, thank you that I am not like these other men. Extortioners, unclean, unjust, adulterers, and like this tax collector. I tithe, I fast, I give my money. I do all the things you've asked me to do. Then it goes on to describe the tax collector, who's sitting by himself, would not lift his eyes towards heaven, but rather beat his breast, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus goes on to teach in that parable that the tax collector was the one who left justified that day. And I think that story, as it started to spread throughout the land, would be a story that when you're a tax collector, you realize that you have ruined your relationship between God and man, and nobody is giving you any hope. Here is the hope. That there's a man who's saying that a tax collector can be righteous. A tax collector could be justified. And so Zacchaeus goes and starts trying to find Jesus. He knows he's going to pass along this road, so he starts trying to get in to see people. Now here is where I think his short stature doesn't work well for him. He's trying to see over a crowd of people. And of course, nobody likes him, so no one's really saying, hey, Zacchaeus, sure, let me move over. Come on up. Let you see Jesus. If anything, they're probably smooshing themselves a little closer together, boxing him out, making sure that he can't see anything. So finally, Zacchaeus sees a tree and climbs up in the tree to get a look at Jesus. And as Jesus passes that way, as it says, he looks up in the tree and he calls Zacchaeus by name. Zacchaeus, hurry up and come on down. In those few words, Jesus teaches several things. first is, Zacchaeus was trying to find Jesus by doing something. Climbing up in that tree. If I climb up there, I'll find Jesus. What Jesus is really saying to him when he tells him to come down quickly, that tree is not for you. You can't find me. See, when we try to work ourselves to God, that's the first part of the problem. Because you see, in Christianity, it's not about us getting to God. Rather, it's about our God who left the throne of glory and became man and was like us in every way except without sin. So what Jesus is really saying to Zacchaeus at that point is that tree isn't for you. What's going to happen is that tree is going to be for me. When I offer myself on the cross for the sins of the world. And see, Jesus goes on to tell us later on that when he's lifted up on the cross, that's when he draws all men unto himself. So he's teaching Zacchaeus that your works, your ability to find God on your own, is not going to occur. It's really that Jesus is searching and seeking and looking and trying to find you and me. And that's why he calls Zacchaeus by name. He doesn't just say, hey, you up in the tree, come on down, some generic guy. No, he makes it personal. He says, Zacchaeus, which actually his name means innocent. Come on down. Jesus does the same with each of us. He is searching for us. He is the one who searches and seeks and finds the lost and saves them. And he calls us by name. When we come to the sacrament of holy baptism, he calls us by name. We hear it. The pastor stands and lets us know. I now baptize Joe, Jane, whoever it may be, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You're grafted into the body of Christ. You're given that which by nature you don't have, which is the divine life. You, at that moment, are a child of the King. You're an heir of the kingdom. Just as Zacchaeus was an heir to the Abrahamic covenant, you're now an heir to all the promises of Christ. You're a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No longer are you separated from God and man. God has joined us back together in his Son, Jesus Christ, who we now have our life within him. And he doesn't just stop at that moment, but he continues to feed us when we come to the altar. We hear the words said over and over again, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It's personal. And often when the pastor administers the sacrament to us, he'll call our name first and remind us that it is for you. He doesn't leave us alone, but he continues to graft us deeper and deeper into the mystery of Christ. When we realize that we can't get ourselves to God, that's when he finds us. Oftentimes people will say, I found God. Really? Was God lost? Did he go somewhere? We're the ones who are lost. He's the one who's always standing there, ready to receive us back. He's the God of second chances, the God of mercy, the God who wants to restore us to be everything that he created us to be. That's what he's looking for. And it says that he's out to seek and to save the lost. But once we come back into the faith and we're restored and forgiven, what do we do with that? How do we behave afterwards? Are we like the Israelite people that they described along the road there? Are we jimmying up close to each other to prevent others from coming in? Or are we going around with open hearts, open minds, open eyes and hands and hearts for the people who need to see Jesus? Zacchaeus had the opportunity to see Jesus in the flesh. The people nowadays have the chance to see Jesus in each of us. We are to be those hands, those feet, the heart of God in our communities. We're to be offering words of healing and compassion and forgiveness to those who need to hear it. If we're grumbling about them being a sinner and they need to stay away, we have to remind ourselves that St. Paul talks in one of his epistle letters about he was the chief of all sinners. And that's the lot for each of us. For there, by the grace of God, go I. We are all saved by that sacrifice of Christ on the cross. There is no grading system on the sin levels. The same sacrifice was required for everyone. So we have no room to boast. But rather, we need to be we need to have that ability to go out into the highways and byways and looking for people to bring them into the feast. It's ready. It's been prepared. God is looking for people to bring them in. He's ready to challenge them with the Word of God. He's ready to offer them forgiveness. He's ready to give them their new life through the sacramental life where He continues to uphold us and strengthen us in our faith. He doesn't leave us as orphans. He doesn't just walk away from us after He ascended, but rather He fills His church with His presence so that when we gather around His table, we are fed and strengthened for our journey here on earth. So my prayer for all of us is that we will continue to realize our life of faith, and that it is God that chases after us. It is God who is seeking and chasing and pursuing us with an unrelenting love. He doesn't want to see anybody fall away, so He continues to chase and follow and to make us safe. So may we have hearts that are open to people. May we have minds and eyes that see the hurt in this world. And may we be willing to respond so that people may know that it is for the Son of Man came